You know, that's good. I've enjoyed the music. I've enjoyed the roosters. It's just, you know, it's just good to be in God's house, isn't it? I tell you what, this is just fun. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm having fun. But, you know, as we begin to talk about things like the fruit of the Spirit, and we've been talking about, and this is our last in the series with the fruit of the Spirit, with love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these things are wonderful stuff in our life. But when you begin to look at your life, though, do you see all these wonderful things that's inside of you? Or is it somehow something you don't really... There's a language in there that you know it's true. You know you love God. You know you believe God. But somehow when we start talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it just doesn't connect. And it's not that you don't want to know, but sometimes I think it's the language that we use. In other words, my daughter, when she is contacting me now, used to be, you know, when she was young, she'd pick up the phone and say, "Hello, Daddy." But now it's... y'all know what I'm talking about. And I used to have a music director that'd pick up the phone and say, "Hello, Brother Robert." But now I got a music director that... And I don't know. I think it's because I'm over that 40 mark. I don't know. You know what? I found out I'm not the only guy that has this problem, though. I'm just the language.
So, kids, SUP, school okay?
OMG, Mom. YKW, my BFF, Sarah, said C-U-L-H-R-4-E-A-E. Y-I-D-K.
G-M-A-B. IMO, you need to tell her to T-A-H. You need to G-A-L.
Now, son, W-W-J-D.
But, Mom, she has B-T-D-T-G-T-S. TMXX.
But she said she'd be my BFF TTE, and our friendship is 2G to be 4G.
I know, dear. I know it doesn't seem like it now, but one day she'll need you. You know, AFIN. IAFI. You'll see.
What on earth are you guys talking about?
It's text messaging, dear. It's all the rage. You need to get with it.
Well, in that case... A, C, D, F, L, 46, J, semicolon, to you. And to you, too.
H, D, G, I.
LOL, Mom.
B, LOL.
That's how I feel sometimes. And so when you think about that, though, sometimes that kind of translates into the church. It's the language that we use. It doesn't communicate. And we have to go back to the instruction. And I like it because it's written out. You can go back and it's written out in the text. And so, therefore, what I'd like for us to do is pick up on one of the verses about being filled with the Spirit, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. In Ephesians chapter 5. In fact, we're going to be camped around this, so if you want to go there, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit and trying to capture it, but this is something that every Christian needs to know about. No, every Christian needs to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, it's an experience in which that you can reach the full... You'll never reach the fullness of the Christian walk until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're talking about here, there's a time and place. So let's kind of put these pieces together. One, when a person becomes as a believer in Jesus Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit, all of Him. But there's something that's called the filling of the Holy Spirit that ignites, it helps, it understands, and it will help you in your daily walk. It's not something that it's just for a few. It's something for all believers. So, how are we? Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. In the New King James, the scripture says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is disputation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, what I want you to do is kind of imagine something with me just for a moment. Imagine that you had this brand spanking new Rolls Royce. I'm talking about a Phantom. $452,000. Now, can you capture that? And Dave, we won't crush it yet, okay? All right, $452,000. And it's now, excuse me, it's now sitting in your driveway. And people come, they drive down your road and they look and say, "Wow, what a car." And they see you in there doing this and doing that. And then you get ready to go to town and they see you pushing that car out into the street and then pushing it down toward the grocery store. And that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? I mean, but that's the way it is with the Christian life. There's a lot of people who have received faith in Jesus, but they stop right there. They don't know how to crank the car. They don't know how to use what's inside of them. They don't know what God has in store for them. You know, we as Baptists, we kind of pick on some of this. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Now, Baptists, we know how to be not drunk with wine, okay? I mean, we talked about that history. But wait a minute. What about being filled with the Spirit? You see, the kicker here is not wax on. The kicker here is wax off. Now, we understand the principle of one of them we talked about, but you know what's far more important than that is being filled with the Spirit. You know, around church, I don't have trouble with the first one. In fact, only one time I can ever remember having trouble with the first one. Only one time. And I'll tell you about that on another story. But the second one, not being filled with the Spirit. Now, let me put it like this. Let's just suppose next Sunday morning, you know, you come to church and Brother Michael's led us in these great songs, the great sermon, and Johnny Bo's done his thing. And you know, and just suppose that. And then all of a sudden, it comes time to preach, and you see me get up out of the chair and stagger up there and say, "Hi, everybody." You know, you'd say, what would you say? You'd say, "Whoa, man, that's not very cool." I don't know what it is in Texan language, but that's not very cool. And you wouldn't even want to. But you know what's worse than that? Is that if I get up out of that chair and I come and stand behind here and I read the scripture to you, and I'm not filled with the Spirit. That's worse than being drunk and coming up here trying to get the words out. You see, that's what God is telling us in this Word, in His Word right here, that is so much that we need to understand, that we need to be under the influence. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher, Baptist preacher of yesteryear, he used to walk to the pulpit saying, "I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost." Because you see, the Spirit is like the wind blowing in the sail. It's like a fish net that's full of fish. It's like a ravine that's full of water. That's what it's like when the Spirit comes into play right here. And just think about what the Lord Jesus said. In John 5:19, the Scripture says, Then said Jesus, said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doth, these also doth the Son likewise." John 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing." John 8:28, "That I can do nothing of myself." In John 15:5, it says, "For without me you can do nothing." Hey, who was saying those words? Jesus. And if Jesus cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit, then Who do we think we are? We want to live the Christian life. So therefore, we need the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is for every one of us. Every born-again believer, you got Him. He lives inside of you. And think about it. Just go through the ages. There was a preacher named Zechariah. And he was going to have a son named John the Baptist. And he was filled with the Spirit. And he spoke. His wife, Elizabeth, when she walked up and she met Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, the Holy Spirit filled her. And she began to praise God. And then all of a sudden, John the Baptist, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And the Lord Jesus, when he was there, the Holy Spirit came down upon him as though it was a dove. And Jesus was filled with the Spirit, and Jesus walked. And then there was a guy named Saul of Tarsus who had been killing Christians, throwing them in jail, beating them up, being a bad guy. But Jesus came to him, and he received the Lord, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then this guy named Paul was down preaching one time, and this guy named Elymas, who was trying to tear down what he was doing, he said, "Man, you bad dude." And he said, "God don't like what you're..." I'm paraphrasing this just a little bit. "God doesn't like what you're doing." And he says, and the Scripture says, and he, speaking of Paul, and he being filled with the Spirit, said, "You're going to be blind for a day." Bam-o, zap. He was down. He was out. He was blind for a day. A guy named Simon Peter. The political party told him, "You don't preach Jesus. You preach Jesus, we're going to beat you up." Simon Peter said, "Look, whether I ought to do what men say or what God say, y'all think about it, but I'm going to do what God says." Scripture says, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, he spoke with boldness. They turned him loose. They threatened him. They turned him loose. He went back to the house where people were gathered together, and they were praying for Simon Peter. And the Scripture says, when he came in and told them what happened, he says, all of them were filled with the Spirit. You see, God wants to do something great for Christians. God wants to do something great for the church. God wants to do something great for you. And so therefore, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, there are the reasons for being filled with the Spirit. I'd like to share these with you. Stephen Alford, he was a great preacher down in Florida. He said that a person ought to be filled with the Spirit continuously, conspicuously, and consciously and conspicuously. In other words, continuously, meaning without interruption, endless, always, infinitum. Consciously awake, keenly aware of, considering, deliberately aware, well-informed, and conspicuously easily visible and attractive. So being saved is not a matter of what you do for God, but it's a matter of what God does through you for the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's kind of, you know, I like to be mean every now and then, don't I, Brandy? Just a little bit. Okay, I like to be just a little bit. But if I were to ask you right now, are you filled with the Spirit? You know, a lot of us think that that's kind of personal. And a lot of us say, "Well, I really don't know." And it's kind of like people text messaging you. You know, you know there's something out there, but you don't really know how it all connects. And so therefore, you have a tendency of maybe not saying yes. But if I don't say yes, then what's the alternative? And so what he's telling us right here is that we need to be conscious of it. There's several reasons why we need to be filled with the Spirit. First of all, that it's because of obedience to God. The Scripture says, and don't be drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled. It is a command. You realize that? God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, is commanding each believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what that means is that if a Christian's not filled with the Holy Spirit, then he's in open rebellion against God. So, what God wants you to do, He wants you to have it all. He wants you to be continuous. And the Scripture in there, that Greek word, it's in the present tense, which means He wants you to be filled right now. Not wait. Oh, excuse me. Don't y'all love stuff like that? I mean, just bust your eardrums. Present tense. Right now, be filled. And then also, that is a plural word. The word is plural, which means all Christians. everywhere. And that's what God wants us to do. Not only are we to be obeying Him, but we have an obligation to God. We have an obligation of being filled. And being filled is not only our obedient response to God, it's our obligation. And you have the obligation as a Christian, first of all, in your worship life. In your worship life. So in our worship life, we need to be filled with the Spirit. So that when we're filled with the Spirit, all of a sudden something unique starts happening. We start singing songs and hymns and praises. When we worship God, and we don't just worship God in here, but when you walk out these doors here, you start singing those songs in your mind. And it's constant. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, you know, when you, the last song that you go to bed with, it seemed like you sing it all night long, and you wake up in the morning, and you're still singing that same song. But you know, when you're filled with the Spirit, all of a sudden, that's the songs that He connects with. And so therefore, in our worship life, that's what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. So we're looking at this in Ephesians as we're breaking through the Scripture right here. And so we saw there in verse 18 that we're to be filled with the Spirit. And in verse 19, we saw that we need to be singing and something inside of us. So that's our worship life. But it's also we need to be filled with the Spirit because of our wedded life. Our wedded life. In other words, look in verse, we're still in Ephesians 5 and verse 22. It says, thank you for bringing water to Pastor. That's it. That's part B. Oh boy, I love to do this in front of people. Oh, that is good. Okay. Thank you, Matt. So, now that she's back, in Ephesians 5:22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad, Mr. Amos? I waited till she got back. And so, right there, the wife is to respect and submit to her husband. Now, we have a culture that's selfish, an independent feminism. And when you look at this in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So, wives are to submit to their husbands. And husbands are to love the wives even as Christ loved the church. Now, what did Christ do for the church? He died for it. Women, would it be hard to love a man that'll die for you? Thank you. No, I hope you live a little longer, brother. So it's not hard. But that's what He's telling us in our worship life, in our wedded life. So we want Christ and what Christ is doing, but also in our work life. Look over in chapter 6 and verse 5 of Ephesians. It says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So what He's telling us in our work life, Christians ought to be the best employees on the block. Doesn't always work out that way. But that's the way it should be. Not working just when boss is looking, but working for the Lord. And you see, when you're filled with the Spirit, you understand that God says, 6 days thou shalt labor, according to Exodus 29, and on the seventh day rest. So therefore, the labor that we do, we ought to be honest, careful, punctual, trustworthy, and hardworking. Our natural tendency is slow, lazy, and critical. But when we're filled with the Spirit, our life changes because we realize we are focusing and working for the Lord Jesus. That means, what you say, okay, you say, all right, I understand that I'm supposed to be a good employee and all that kind of stuff. But what happens when my boss is not a Christian? What am I supposed to do? The same thing. Because you see, whether your boss is a Christian or not a Christian, you're to work for God. And as you work for God, then hopefully your boss will get the hint. But you know, but it doesn't matter what it is. You are held responsible, and you can't do that on your own, folks. You have to be filled with God's Spirit. That's the only way that you're going to go all the way with this. And number four is your war life. Your war life. You also have an obligation to be Spirit-filled in your war life. Look in chapter 6 and verse 10. The Scripture says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Listen, folks, we're in a spiritual battle. Satan wants to bring you down. His number one objective is to destroy you. And the only way that we can defeat Satan and stop him from destroying our home, our family, our health, our happiness, our hallowed faith, the only way we can do that is to allow the Spirit to help us. If we think we can do it on our own, you're going down. We must have the Spirit. Because you see, that's what it took for the Lord Jesus. When Jesus cast out demons, how did He do it? He did it by the working of the Holy Spirit inside of Him. When He healed a man, when He raised the dead, it was the working of the Holy Spirit who lived inside of Him and helped Him and gave Him that strength and that power. And in Luke 4:1, it says, "And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost." So what He's trying to tell us here is in Acts chapter 1, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." So if you're going to win in the war life, you better begin with walking in the Spirit. Number five, be Spirit-filled, because to be an effective witness, you have to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 18 and 19, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." If we are going to speak boldly, it's going to be because He, the Holy Spirit, is a driving force inside of us that's saying, "Go get them, boy. Go get them. Ye shall receive power." And also, I'd like for you to recognize that we have an opportunity before God. Not only obedience, but we've got an opportunity before God. In chapter 5, in verses 14 through 16, He says, therefore, He says, "Awake." Boy, let me do that one again. Wake up! I like that one. That's Scripture now. Okay? He says, "Wake up!" That's what He's telling us right there. "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We have an opportunity of redeeming the time. It looks as though everything that's going against our country is trying to pull us away. It's getting darker. But what happens when the world gets darker? Jesus gets brighter, brighter. Ladies, tell me this. When you go to a jeweler, why do they always bring out those big diamonds against the black surface? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know you know. Why does it do it? Because it shows up so beautiful, so beautiful. You take away that black background and you put a gray or something like that, or brown. I don't want that one. But you get that black background and it glitters. Oh, you see all those little sparkles. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. So the darker it gets, brighter Jesus is. What an opportunity that we have to share Jesus Christ, and may we have the boldness. But I'd like for us to move hurriedly and look at the requirements for being filled with the Spirit. Don't think the Holy Spirit is a substance, but He's a person. And don't refer to the Spirit as an it, but as Him, because He will. In other words, Jesus said, when He comes, He will teach you all things. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you in all truth. So therefore, the Spirit is a person, and you are His temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So what happens with this? Number one, the first thing is, if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you must give Him a complete commitment to Him. You must make a complete commitment to Jesus. In other words, somebody opened up this morning and they shared an illustration how they invited one of their family members to come and stay with them. I thought that was awesome. But folks, when they come in the house, all of a sudden things change. I got a certain kinfolk that when he goes in the house, he likes to look in every closet. He does. That's the truth. I mean, nosy. What are you talking about? But I mean, all of a sudden, but what happens here? What happens? Do you want somebody to come into your house and look in every closet, expect to open every drawer and look underneath the undershirts and everything? Do you want somebody to do that? Well, you say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come into my life totally. So what happens? He opens up every drawer, you say, Holy Spirit, don't open up that drawer. So the Holy Spirit. So therefore, what do you want? We've got to give Him a complete commitment. Secondly, He must be continual control. The Holy Spirit needs to be continually filling your life and controlling your mind. That's where it's kind of like the text said, be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. It gives us a perfect relationship. What happens? I've oftentimes heard man takes the first drink and then the second drink takes the man. And so, if that be the case, then what about the Spirit? You see, sometimes when a man gets intoxicated, his talk changes. His walk changes. The way he thinks changes. His whole character changes. He may be loose at the mouth. He may be a wonderful person, or he may be a bum. I mean, when the stuff gets him. But he changes. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit changes everything. The way we walk, the way we talk. And so therefore, as we do this, and listen, you might get drunk with, I don't know how many drinks it takes, okay? You might get drunk with one drink, but you've got to take another drink to stay drunk, right? The Holy Spirit, you don't just get a little bit of the Holy Spirit and stay filled with the Spirit. It's kind of like alcohol. I'm not on alcohol today. But it's kind of like alcohol today. You got to keep on drinking to stay drunk. You got to keep on receiving the Holy Spirit to stay full. Amen. So your work life, your wedded life, all of it, you got to stay that way. So that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 teaches us another principle right here. He says, Christians, you must claim this filling of the Holy Spirit. The needs is to be conscious of it. In Galatians 5:25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what Jesus is wanting us to do, He wants us to stay up to date. He wants us to stay full. He wants us to stay ready by walking with Him. And then what are the results? Let me just quickly give you the results. The results of being filled with the Spirit. In other words, as you're filled with the Spirit, you will see your relationship with God will change. Your relationship to circumstances and your relationship with other people. All these things begin to happen. Your relationship with God, you'll be energized by a spirit of adoration. In Ephesians 5:19, he said, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart. A spirit of adoration. You find yourself singing like Michael. All the time. Singing. Happy. And you're riding down the road and you're singing. And that guy pulls up next to you. And he says, what's wrong with you? You drunk? And then you tell him, yeah, on the Spirit. And you drive on. And you'll see he'll drive over to the side. I mean, you know what? But you want to be filled. Adoration. songs, good songs, will come to you. And then secondly, you'll find a spirit of appreciation, and that is giving thanks to God for all the wonderful things that you've done. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have a spirit of appreciation. Oh man, appreciation. Thank God for what you have. I was watching a video and this girl had a flat tire. She was going out of the park. She had a flat tire and she gave all that look. And she pulled over there and she sat down and she was looking at her flat tire. And all of a sudden, another little girl walked up and she went over to the garbage and she started going around in the garbage trying to find something to eat. She looked at that tire and she looked at that girl. And it clicked. She reached in her bag and she found a sandwich and she gave it to that little girl. That's when it clicks. That's when you got appreciation. Appreciation for what you have. Finally, you'll develop a spirit of accommodation which will change your relationship to other people. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. You'll find the Holy Spirit helping you to submit joyfully to others. And you'll find yourself looking for ways to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because the Spirit of God has changed your life. Well, the big question is right now, is the Holy Spirit filling you? We used to sing a song. It said, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. All to Jesus. You see, if we're going to be that Christian, able to work in the Spirit, war in the Spirit, wedded in the Spirit, worshiping in the Spirit, we got to have it. We got to know how to get into that Rolls Royce and turn the key on and drive it down the road. We got to know how the Spirit is inside of us, taking control consciously, constantly, conspicuously. Other people will know, hey, this person's being led by the Spirit. And when you do that, then love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of these things start in your life, start growing in a way that's almost unbelievable. That's what God has for you. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we come, Lord, desiring that each person here, Lord, be filled with Your Spirit. And we know what it means, Lord. It means just allowing Jesus to come in and to control our life, all areas of our life. So Holy Spirit, do a work this morning inside of our hearts, inside of our lives. Father, if there are those who are holding back some closets, Lord, help them to open up the door and clean them out. Lord, help them to just ask for forgiveness and say, okay, Spirit, you got it all now. You can go in the closet too. Lord, what is it this day? Holy Spirit, what is it that You're saying to us? Father, what is it that You want us to do? Help us to walk in Your Spirit. And we know it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question comes to you this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Him? Second question is, if you don't know Him, then I invite you to ask Christ to come into your life this morning. And He will. And He will. That's what His Word says. Christ will come into your life. Secondly, are you giving the Spirit controlling in your life? Are you doing that? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in your life today? What we're going to do, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing and we're going to give you that moment in your mind's eye and in your heart in which you can say, Lord, I want You all the way. Lock, stock, and barrel, God, You got it all. Jesus, I want You. So let's stand together, okay? Let's dance.